The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org. We're
starting a brand new series called Together, and as we are together, I want to encourage you to be in for a little bit different morning. I know normally we start this time and I begin talking and I continue talking for about another 45 minutes, if I'm looking at the clock right. And but today, I want you to kind of capture the vision and the heartbeat of what we see God building in us and calling us towards. And God is doing this not just at Hope Hill, but around the world. And this idea of the church always coming together has come from the beginning. That's why we're looking at Acts this morning, Acts chapter 2. And so as we dive into this new series, I want to just ask you go to the Lord with me real quick in prayer. Let's ask him to open our hearts and to have us hear what he has for us this morning. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that God, you did not leave us behind on this earth to be your church, to be your people without basic instructions. God, you spelled out clearly for us how it is that you want us to follow you and how, God, your church is your plan A for reaching this world, and there is no plan B. God, we are your hands and your feet, and you call us to be united together to reach those who are far from you. And so, God, I pray that as you help us to hear these words this morning, as you speak to us through even the testimony of those sitting in this place this morning, and as we look at how you're moving in other churches this morning, I pray, God, that our hearts would be inspired, that we would be encouraged, and that we would be drawn closer to the church that you're shaping and making us to be in this area. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so I want to, again, encourage you to stay engaged with this series. This is a two-week. This is a quick one. 3 weeks from now, we're starting a new series called Share. And the important thing about that message is going to be, how does God want us to share our faith? How does he equip us, enable us, and challenge us to share what he's given to us? And so I encourage you to stay engaged. Check us out if you're visiting with us. Come back a few weeks before you decide yes or no on, you know, I might have a terrible day today, and A couple people know I'm not feeling well, and if I need to run away, you'll know why. Hopefully I won't run away. I'm just joking. That's a little extreme. But come back. And really, as Kevin just said, our community groups are a really great place to really see where the rubber meets the road. And I'm going to be bragging on our community groups a bit this morning, and you'll be hearing about that more in a minute. But let me go ahead and just turn to the scriptures. Let's read that and let the Holy Spirit start to open our hearts to what he wants us to hear this morning. And I'm excited. I'm excited for what he has for us. Let's look at this. Acts chapter 2. So let me give you some basic background to what we see here. Jesus had just spent 33 years on the earth. He had lived a perfect life. He had grown up the son of a carpenter, and he had been hard at work. Sometimes he frustrated his parents because he would be off doing his father's business, his spiritual father's business. Many times they were like, "Where is he?" And they'd find him in the temple courts as a young child. Listening and actually he started engaging in the scriptures that were being shared. And so Jesus grew up in this special way and came for one purpose ultimately. He came to die on a cross for us. And as Jesus grew, as Luke 2:52 we saw a moment ago, he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Jesus grew. And he spent time in this temple gathering, learning the scriptures, the Old Testament law, and hearing the teachings of many of the different rabbis. And when he became of age, about the age of 30, he started what's called his ministry years. He was baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist, and God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit anointed him, came down from heaven in the form of a dove, and rested over the body of Jesus, and then Jesus began his ministry years. For 3 years, he lived on this earth, and he went out pouring love into those around him. There were many religious leaders who looked at him and said, "What are you doing? You're doing it all wrong." Because he would be often found with sinners, tax collectors, those who would betray their own people and robbing from the Jews to pay off the Romans and lining their own pockets in the process. And Jesus would spend time with these outcasts. And his words were this: a doctor has come for the sick, not for the healthy. And so he came to be a light in the midst of darkness. As Jesus was being this, he was doing it for a reason. He had called others to join him in this process, to join together with him, to follow in his footsteps. Luke chapter 4 and 5, we see the calling of the first disciples. He goes up and he doesn't go look for religious elite. He goes and finds, what were they? Fishermen. And they were fishermen because they didn't make the cut to be religious elite. Many of these Jewish boys would grow up under the temple, and if some of the rabbis saw potential in them for great learning, they would recruit them and say, "Come and follow me as I teach you the Old Testament law, as I pour into you so that you can one day become a rabbi yourself." And people like Peter and Matthew, the tax collector, and all the other disciples didn't make that cut. They were like, "You're not good enough, go home." And so they became shepherds and fishermen and tax collectors and what have you. And Jesus came and said, "No longer will you just be fishermen, but you will be fishers of men. Come and follow me." And so he invites us, wherever we're at, despite our past, despite who we are, despite our intellectual ability, our knowledge of the word, Christ is at work in our lives and invites us to join together with him in his life-changing mission. And that's what we're here about at Hope Hill, is to join together with what God's already doing and to be his hands and feet and to see those who do not know him come to know him. Jesus said, "I am the light. As you walk in the light, you will become more like me." If you look at your life, though, and say you're without sin, you're lying and you're deceiving yourselves. So confess your sins and I will forgive you. I will make you the person I want you to be. I will make you that fisher of men. And some of us in our last series came to realize that, actually, I call it a series because I feel like I preached for 8 weeks. It was at camp with the students and I summarized it last week. God invites us to be his warriors, to join together with him. And he wants us to realize that it's not about who we are, but who he can be through us. And so as his word gets into our lives, we become the people he wants us to be. It's not so much how much time are you spending in the word. That is important. We need to be grounded in the word of God. But it's more about how much it's getting into you and changing you from the inside. And so as we come together, we will see that the beginning of the church started in a very unique and special way. I remember reading this passage of scripture as a young child, growing up in a very typical traditional church and a great church. But I remember reading this and saying, "Wow, I wonder when the church changed after I read this passage." Because what we're about to read so often can be so different than what many churches look like. So let's take a look and see the beginning of the first church. The one and only true church, I might add. The Church of Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and see what happens. So Jesus, after spending 33 years, leaves his disciples behind. And he says, "I'm going to use you to continue on what I've started." In Acts 1:8, he says, "Before you go out and be my witnesses, though, you know you need to have the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come on you, will give you power to be my witnesses to all the world. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And wait. And so the Holy Spirit comes in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit empowers the disciples to be the witnesses of God. Peter gets up and gives this bold message proclaiming the gospel, the good news to the people that were there. All these people, tribes and languages had gathered together and they're all hearing Peter in some Holy Spirit miracle way. Everybody hears this message in their own language. Some people don't hear it and they're like, "Are they drunk? They're just up there. Peter's like mumbling and we don't understand him." And Peter's like, "No, it's too early in the morning. We're not drunk yet." It's kind of funny. It says that. Go read it. And he says, "It's only 9, you know. But he says, "Here's what you need to know." And he unfolds the gospel. And then in Acts chapter 2, here's the response to what happens as Peter boldly declares the message of Christ, the gospel of Jesus, that Jesus came, he died for our sins. If we seek him and ask for forgiveness, we will become children of God if we believe in him. And this movement starts to grow. As the movement starts to grow, I actually want to back up to verse 37. Can you do that for us, Austin? 37. If you have your Bibles with you, if you've never highlighted this section, I want you to just like get out your crayons, your markers, get your highlight tool out on your app, whatever. This is amazing stuff, and we need to capture this because this is what the church began as, and it's what the church is to be even now. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. When they heard what? The gospel. When they heard that Jesus loved them, that he died for them, and that they could be set free. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." This has been an exciting summer. Last week, if you weren't able to join us, we were able to baptize, I think it was 8, just last Sunday night. A month before that, we had 8 others. There's been over 100 people baptized in the last 2 years here at Hope Hill Church. People are coming to know who Jesus is and deciding they want to follow him. Back then, it's how it started. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for those who are far off." This is why God has put us here. There are people who are far from God, who do not yet know him, and we are his instrument to spread the gospel around the world and for those who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized. And how many? 3,000 were added that day. 3,000 were added to their number that day. Here's what they did. Those people, as day by day, we're going to see in a minute, God was adding to his church. God began the foundation of the church, the chief cornerstone being Jesus himself. He started building, and God has been building the church ever since. What did the church do? Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were what? Together, and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily, not just at altar calls on Sunday mornings, but daily God was adding to their number those who were being saved. This is the beginning of the church. This is what God has called us to. This is what we're going to dive in and break down over the next 2 weeks, this week and next week. This is the heartbeat of what we want Hope Hill Church to be. We gather here together really for one purpose, to celebrate today what God is doing the rest of the days of the week. How many of you are involved in some sort of home Bible study or have ever been a part of a home community group or a cell group or something like that? A good number of you. How many of you, and this is to point you out, how many of you are ready to be in one this fall? I see 5 hands. Okay, that's not good enough. All right, so we're going to talk about that some more. We want you to realize that, again, as I say this over and over again, there's so much that God wants to do in us and through us, and it's going to take more than us just gathering together and sitting in rows in a school building 1 or 2 hours a week. God wants us living life together, eating together, being together, meeting in the temple and in our homes together on a regular basis so that others will see what God is doing in our lives and come to know our Father in heaven. Where do we get this from? We just read it. The beginning of the church, right there spelled out for us. So, I want us to break down a bit of this together today, and I want to begin to kind of open your eyes to what God can do. Some of what God can do has already begun as we begin to be the body that God has called us to be. And we'll stop on time, but I could keep going with stories today and keep you here for a couple hours, but I won't do that. But I also want to hear from some of you. Some of you are involved in some community groups, and God has done some amazing things. And I want you to be open and willing to share today how God has touched your life, how God has moved in you or your community group, or how God is using you through your community group together to impact somebody else. All right, so let's dive in. Let's go back to the scriptures real quick. Let's start with number one. Number one, and if you're looking for notes, I know a lot of times I'll have notes printed out for you. Today you just have a blank sheet, and you have another sheet, I think, with the one and others. Okay, good. So you can take notes on your blank sheet. Here we go. Number one, they devoted themselves. Number one, they devoted themselves. You can put Acts 2:42 up there for us, Austin. Devotion is something that, it's a big word. It isn't just speaking of, okay, they got interested and they signed up for the next Bible study. No, they were devoting themselves. Their entire being, we're gonna see that unfold, that they open up their homes, they consider selling their possessions. Devotion becomes a way of life, not just a sign up on a sheet for a next Bible study. It was more than just, what is the next box I can check? I have been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. I want to devote myself to following him. Many of us, we live a life of religion where we're simply just checking boxes, stepping through certain hoops, and doing the things that seem right because, well, that's what Christians do. But God calls us to live a life every day of devotion. Devotion to him and to what he taught us, and devotion to one another and his church. I've met many people who are like, well, I love Jesus, but I don't like the church. That would be like someone coming up to you. How many, raise your hand if you're married. If somebody came up to you and said, I like you, but I really don't like your spouse. How would that make you feel? Would that be nice? Probably not, okay? No elbowing one another, okay? Sometimes there are reasons why people don't like our spouse, but this is not the time or place to get into that. And there are many reasons why a lot of people don't like the spouse of Jesus Christ, the church. I know that some of you have grown up in church and you've been hurt. Some of you have grown up in church and things weren't done quite right. Sometimes some people in church can take the principles of God and twist them or abuse them for their own use. That happens. And it's clear in Scripture that it's going to happen because it was happening back then. And Paul and many of the other early apostles were like, watch out for the wolves amongst you. You know, we're like sheep. And sometimes wolves will come in and try to break us apart, get us to go after one another. And we need to be careful and on guard that we protect ourselves. But we don't need to become a place that is sheltered and closed from the outside world, because that would defeat the purpose that God has the church here for. God has put us here to be in the world, to take light into the darkness, and to make a change. And so we gather together and we devote ourselves to the ways of God, the things of God, so that we become the people of God. The second thing is that they devoted themselves, the first thing was to the teaching, to the Word of God. And thanks be to God that we have His Word. We did a series maybe almost a year ago where we told you about how we got the Word, how we can trust God's Word. There are many holy books in the world, but this stands apart. 40 different authors written over 1,500 different years on 4 different continents. It's the same story from beginning to end, telling us about a world that needs a Messiah, the coming of the Messiah, and the Messiah coming again. It's from cover to cover about Jesus and his love for us and the fact that we need salvation and redemption. And it comes as we put our faith in him. And so they devoted themselves to the teachings. They got into studying. You know, they didn't have the NIV and the ESV and the NKJV and all those translations back then. They basically had to go off the scrolls that had been handed down. But the apostles who walked with Jesus for 3 years poured what they had poured into their lives, into others. And they devoted themselves to that teaching. Jesus, when he left, he said, I want you to go into all the world, making disciples, teaching them everything I've taught you. And they devoted themselves to that teaching. And so we want to be a church that is devoted to the teachings of Jesus Christ, that we look into this and we find this to be our foundation upon which our belief and faith is built on. It goes on to say that they devoted themselves to fellowship. What is fellowship? It's playing golf together. I don't like golf, but somebody just told me a group of four just went out and had a good time playing golf, right? That's fellowship, getting together and Star Wars stormtrooping together, which I'm sure some of you are going to join me soon. Yeah, okay, we'll keep going. It's getting together and doing things together, living life together, cheering on your children's sports teams together, going to concerts and recitals together, getting together and sharing a meal, and just living life together, fellowship, getting to know one another, building each other, encouraging each other. Are you doing that with others in this body? If this is a place where you feel God is calling you to get connected to the church, then you should be fellowshipping with one another. Don't leave today without inviting somebody to lunch. Go out. Go share a meal together. Get to know each other. Let's connect. Let's get deeper with one another. To fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Now here, there's a couple times that breaking bread is talked about in this passage. Here, I do believe that this first time they talk about breaking bread is what we'll do together today. It literally, breaking bread together and remembering that Christ's body was broken for us. A symbol of Christ's body broken on a cross for us. And they would take a cup of wine back then, this is juice, and they would dip it in it as a reminder of Christ's blood shed for us. And they would do this regularly, on a daily basis. I know some of us come from certain traditions where we would take communion, you know, once a quarter or once whenever it seemed to fit, but we here at Hope Hill, we take it every week because we want to remember, be reminded weekly that Christ's body was broken for us and his blood was shed for us. And so they devoted themselves to this, to remembering that the reason we believe this way is because of what Christ did for us. And everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles and in their midst. And even in the last 2 years that we've had together, we've seen people cured from cancer. We've seen marriages on the brink of divorce be healed. We've seen people conquer some personal battles in their own life. God is doing things that are wonderful in our midst. And as we come together, God will continue to do wonderful things in our lives. We will be filled with awe if we open up our eyes to what God is doing. And that's what I want us to do right now. I want some of you to hear some of the stories that will fill you with awe with what God is doing. And I hope there are two stories that you'll let me share. I'm not going to tell you because if God wants you to share them, then so be it. But if not, there's two I'm going to share. But before I share, I want to hear from you. How has God moved in our midst as we have gathered together, as we have entered into community together? As a part of your community group life, as a part of what God is doing through your community group, how is God blown you away with what he's doing? Who's first? It's not just going to be me doing all the talking this morning. Who's first? All right. We want everybody to hear you, so I'm going to give you the mic. Here you go.
Okay, thanks. Let's see, a little over a year ago, I found myself in a divorce. And my goal at the time was to be able to stay home with my daughter till kindergarten. It was super important to me. But financially, it made zero sense to do that. I really needed to, boom, pop right back into my career. But things have just fallen into place where I've been able to do that. And so I'm super, super thankful.
Amen. And a lot of you have covered her in prayer, walked with her through that. I know her community group at that time surrounded her and came as a support system around. And still, we're praying for her and for Jeff, that God will continue to bring healing into all situations there. So thank you. Who's next? Come on, guys. Dan.
Hey, guys, I'm Dan Hudson. I started attending, my family and I started attending here about a year ago. And in that time, I've seen my entire family grow. My daughter seeking Christ. My eldest kid has better and bigger questions. And my wife and I are closer than we've ever been with ourselves and through God. And, you know, closer to God. I thank this church. I thank cousins and all the pastors because it's a God thing.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you. Margaret.
I've actually jumped from a different community groups, but I'm going to brag on my very first one, Eastside, with the Tates. Just when I first started going to Hope Hill and I got plugged into their community group, I shared a lot of, you know, deep things, just things, you know, my deepest fears and pain and struggle. And, even, you know, they helped me search after God and get healing for that. And they've just constantly surrounded me with prayer, you know, when I went to Moldova in 2011. And so it really makes a difference being in a community group, so.
Amen. Carmen.
We did lead up the Eastside Bible group for a while, and just as much as we were able to touch those that were in the group, they touched us back with their trust and their faith and coming every week. And we started off with about 8 people and dwindled down to 1, which was Margaret. She would drive all the way down to Restonfort. But Kevin and I, we attended a marriage conference a few months ago. And the one thing that we've seen, not only here in Hope Hill Church, but at First Baptist, is Satan's on the warpath to split couples up. And during this marriage conference, it allowed us to get closer to God. And we renewed our vows that day, which he never said he wanted to do that. He thought once was enough. Why do it again if it's still working? But we did renew our vows. So God is pressed upon heavily on his heart and starting on mine now, the need to have a marriage class to help. It's just God put you together for a reason. And he doesn't want to see you separate or anything like that. You know, marriage is a sacred institution that, you know, God has put upon us. And just by going to that marriage class, you know, I see my husband the way God sees him. You know, and whenever you can see somebody through the eyes of God and you know their heart, it just draws you closer to them. And I just want to thank him for... He literally dragged me because I didn't want to go, but it was one of the best experiences, and I just hope that we're able to take what we used and just pay it forward to those here at Hope Hill and to others in the community.
That's good. Who else? David.
I would just like to share that for me and my my family and my wife, that the power of repentance and full surrender has been huge. And when we truly let the Holy Spirit, you know, take over our heart, and we give surrender to him and repent and just give God all the glory, I've seen just massive blessings in my family. But on the flip side of that, when it seems like we don't, it's like what Carmen just said, it seemed like that Satan's working on you. So it's really important to stay focused on Christ. And when we do that, we're just massively blessed by the power of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Go back 3 years ago. Where were you with God?
I was lost. And I thank you and Hope Hill for bringing my family and teaching us the word and turning us on to Jesus Christ. And we're all in on Jesus. So I thank you for that, John. Thank you.
David, you know I was going to say this, but it's not about me. It's not about us. It's about what God's doing through us together. David now leads one of our ministry teams here, and he's pouring into other men, and he's doing a number of things, and God's transforming you as he will continue to transform all of us. Anyone else? In the back. It's Maria.
I just want to share that in my community group, I feel loved. I feel accepted. I feel like people speak truth to my heart, and I feel carried in prayer. And it is in my community group where I gather up the strength to go and reach out to others. And that is way out of my comfort zone. And I'm just very grateful for my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's just awesome.
Amen. Amen. Maria helps lead some of the ministry that we have to many folks in our community who don't speak English. And about a year ago, we were having close to 20, 25 Spanish-speaking individuals come and sit in our midst, and some of you were having a hard time hearing me because you'd be hearing somebody translating over their shoulder live, and God is continuing to develop us and send us, even cross-culturally, and God has sent us people like Maria and Anna and others of you who are bilingual, the Burmese, and I could, please don't feel left out if I didn't name you. God is sending the people he wants here to be together, united, to accomplish his work. And God's not only doing it here, he's doing it around the world. I want to show you a video, and this is a long video, but it's a good video. And there may be some things you see in the video that make you wonder, but I hope you capture the depth of the message of what is being communicated as Jesus is transforming a community as this community comes together. So watch this.
Like to live like missionaries here versus thinking only missionaries go somewhere else. And that actually, that mind shift shifts people in the church significantly to start thinking, I think, more appropriately about what it means to be the church, that you're always being sent. When we first started SOMA, it was just my wife and I, and we pulled together a group of people, that some from past relationships, that wanted to be a part of a church that lived life on mission in the everyday, not just life together on Sunday for a couple hours. Looking at what it would be to be God's people wherever we're at, Paul describes the church, and he says Christ is the head of the church, which is his body in which he fills all in all, and that word body is SOMA. And so for us, this picture of what would it look like to be Jesus' body filling the city, filling every place that we're in with his presence, that's really what we saw. That's what we believe the church to be. Every year, all of our missional communities sit down and identify who is it we believe God sent us to, or what place has he sent us to, and how are we going to radically reorient our lives for the sake of reaching those people. Our day-to-day, our week, is shaped by that covenant. The goal is to see it in the flow of life. Currently, our mission and community is made up of, you know, Clay and Christy, who are friends of ours that we got to meet through our kids going to the same school, and Jim and Carrie Crabb, our neighbors from right around the corner. Nikki, our neighbor, a widow lady for 15 years now. Matt and Chelsea are more mature believers who've joined us, and now I'm trying to train Matt to eventually lead his own missional community. Ian and Alyssa are a couple that joined us. In a lot of ways, we're disenfranchised with the church. Paige and Adam will probably be starting their own missional community in the next few months. And then, of course, all the slew of kids that are connected to all those people are a part of it as well. We love one another like brothers and sisters, and we love those we're being sent to as though they're the lost children of God. Our Sunday gathering, that's what we call it a gathering, because we really believe it's the gathering of the church. We don't believe the Sunday is the church, we believe that the people are the church, and we should gather the church together regularly. And so we gather together weekly for that. Our hope and our purpose in it is that we would exhort people to the gospel, both to believe it as well as to live their lives in light of it. We also have communion every week where we encourage people in mission communities to come together after they hear the gospel proclaimed again through the text and celebrate Jesus. I would say one of the things that I'm really hoping for every person in a missional community is that they could actually be the church without me. That they would get to experience what it means to be the people of God all week without necessarily needing to be at a meeting on Sunday. This is not just an act, this is your life. It's radically different. They all still respected him as a teacher. They still all looked up to him. There was still a great authority, even in his servanthood. He didn't, when he was washing his feet, he was no less Jesus.
I began to see what Jeff was giving himself to, and some of the emerging leaders. I began to notice just how much he opened his house up and how many of the other guys were giving up so much of their time. It wasn't just a meeting, and that was the other thing that frightened me. I was like, oh my God. I told Jeff when I was like, this seems like it's really gonna take it takes all of your life. Like, this isn't just an event, but man, this is like, this has taste and flavor to when Christ first broke into my heart. This is submitting my life. I remember thinking back to how I was pushing against this emphasis of missionary work, and at that time, just feeling very convicted. I was like, I'm talking to the very people that don't know Jesus. I'm going to them, I'm reaching them, I'm pursuing them, you know, very much corresponding to how God pursued me and reached out to me and chased after me. There is a reorientation that needs to happen. And I also see that this reorientation is the gospel. This is what belief is about. This is what it means to say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior.
You could actually have a Bible study and be unfaithful to the scriptures. So oftentimes Bible studies stop. They don't actually create the church or lead to effective and healthy church. They often think that the goal was the study of the Bible instead of becoming a healthy family on mission. If you don't have mission, that will be an unhealthy family eventually, because there'll be no reproduction, there'll be no multiplication. Yeah, we study the Bible, yeah, we're a small group, but we believe that we should be sharing the gospel, making disciples, multiplying out, and expanding to the point that we reach the nations. I think multiplication is at the very heart of who we are. Jesus says, make disciples, and then teach them to teach others as well. Healthy disciples make more disciples. Healthy leaders raise up more leaders. Healthy churches plant more churches. And if you don't have multiplication at the end of what you're supposed to do, you won't actually do what you're supposed to do. That's what I'm convinced of. And most churches have settled with addition. And a lot of churches have just become orphanages. They know how to have babies, and they have a couple dads and moms for all the babies, but not nearly enough to care for them well, and they don't send them off to start new families. So it's a perpetual orphanage that they've created. And I think a church committed to multiplication will have great leaders, ultimately, because they'll have to train them up to raise their own family someday. You don't have to be a superstar to plant that kind of church. You can be a normal person. And hopefully then it builds up around normal people, and you have a church made up of a bunch of normal people that have spectacular lives because of Jesus. God built it in the very fabric of creation. It says all the trees all have seed-bearing fruit, and the seeds are going to fall on the ground, they're going to reproduce, and there's going to be another fruit-bearing plant coming out of that.
You know, every time that a group multiplies, there's a bit of death that happens, but it opens up space for more people to hear good news, to see community, and to be loved. And, that's ultimately what's important. We really think that Jesus came to die to give us more than a great sermon and some good music on Sunday morning. He died so that our whole life could be restored to God. The gospel comes to bear in all parts of your life as you're living in community. It looks messy and it's uncomfortable and it's scary, especially when God calls you to lead and step out and trust Him. But it's beautiful.
We really want to be missional, you know. We really want to see people worship Jesus. It's that important, like it's everything.
I'm just a couple of years into this, and only a couple of years into my belief, for that matter. Jeff, the way he handled it with me is he wasn't like coming in for the 1-2 knockdown punch. And when we talked about sports and just you name it, just normal guy stuff. The way I view this community now that I've become a believer and a part of a group of people on mission has changed. You become vested in something bigger than yourself. Now I have a deeper, far deeper relationship with my neighborhood. There's a bond there that I think that never will be broken. Taking it out of the living room and getting out in your community and actually doing it. And I love that, because talk gets old after a while.
One particular neighbor we have, she's an elderly woman. She's lived in her home for, it's been 17 years since her husband passed away. She has been a recluse. You could tell she was just very lonely. This one day, my daughter's napping upstairs and I hear this knock on the door. And I came down and it was her and she was in tears. We sat out on the front porch in the porch swing and she poured her heart out to me for 3 hours. We talked, and at the end I asked her if I could pray with her, and she said that would be wonderful. This kind of began our relationship with her. God really gave me a gracious heart for her to see this is it. This is what missional living is about. It's not this nice, clean, tidy, wipe my hands at the end of the day and push people out and live my own separate life. It becomes part of the fabric of who you are, and now I can honestly say she feels like part of the family.
Happy birthday, dear Nikki. Happy birthday to you. Woo!
Woo! So we're in the backyard of a neighbor's house, Nikki. This whole back area that we're working on was completely full of blackberry bushes. Two cars were buried in the back of it. You couldn't walk through it. And the blackberry bushes were growing up half the height of the house. So what we're doing right now, this is probably the third year of us planting a garden. And our missional community is just saying, let's care for Nikki this way, but let's also care for our neighborhood, because this is a great way for us to have the neighbors come together and serve with us. It's also a great way for us to start giving away the produce that we're going to be seeing grow this summer. For us, when we do this kind of work externally, it's a way of showing what the kingdom of God looks like when it breaks into someone's life, that there's a process of restoration that's going on. And so that's what we're hoping for all of us, that all of us, in a sense, are going through this process of getting our lives cleaned up by the gospel.
think one of the most powerful apologetics of the gospel is when a group of people love one another, live in unity together in the midst of a broken, dark, depraved world, and they don't think that they have to remove themselves from the world to be sanctified because they believe the gospel is powerful enough to sanctify them in the middle of a broken world. When I think about my city, not just this city, but all the cities. And for some reason, God's given me a heart for our country, so I think about all the cities this way. And I tear up often when I think about the lost in our city, and I think about the lost in our country, and I pray for them, and that just breaks my heart. It's hard for me sometimes to walk through my city and think of how many people just don't understand the love that God has for them. And that grips me, and it compels me, and it motivates me. I mean, I think about my neighbors that way. And my, you know, with my kids, we pray for them, and it's hard. It's hard for me to think that they've rejected Christ, at least at this point in their life. And but I'm not gonna give up, because it's His love is worth me doing everything so that they'll know it. My exhortation to church planters, if they don't have that kind of love for the people God's put around them, they need to ask God to give them a bigger heart. Because this isn't about them. It's not about their church or about their successes. It's about God's glory and lost people who don't know the love of the Father.
So this is what God calls us to. He calls us to getting out there, to getting outside these walls, to getting outside of the buildings that we call churches and realizing that we are the church. The building isn't a church. The institution isn't a church. We are the people. We are to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And there are some of you in this room that have come together and have grabbed hold of this. And I want to share a couple things next week with you because we've run out of time today. But I want you to know that there are some people in this room that love you so much that they would give up everything and anything because they love Jesus and they realize that Jesus gave up everything for them. And there are people in this room that are helping families move in because they've lost another house. There are people in this room who have come together and said, we know that this one family in our community can't afford their rent, so we're going to bound together and we're going to pay their bills for them. There's families in here that are literally living in something that wouldn't even be considered a house so that someone else can have their house. That's where it becomes real. And that's where we get out of these metal seats, we get out of this clean school, and we go and be the church. And that's the vision for Hope Hill, that we would bring hope to this world because of what happened on a hill ages ago for us. Christ left heaven, left all the majesty that was, and came down and lowered himself to become a servant for us so that his life could be given as a ransom to pay for our sins and to bring us into his family. And he invites us to join him in that as we come together and join him and join one another. We can be the hands and feet of Jesus. We can bring love and light to the dark world around us. And we will see Jesus add to our number daily those who will be saved. If we believe that and get behind that, God has a lot that he'll transform through us and in us and make us who he wants us to be in the process. Let's pray. If you're sitting here this morning and you're a visitor, on one hand, I want to apologize because today was different. But on the other hand, I'm glad you came today because you got to see a real deep part of the heart of who we are. And I very much want to invite you to be a part of what God's doing here. We deeply believe in the mission that Jesus came. And that was that he came to seek and save those who were far from himself, the lost. And now he sends us to do the same. And we know that as a church, we need to be equipping you to be the saints that God has called you to be. We need to be spurring each other on to good deeds, iron sharpening iron, helping each other grow in the deep truths of God that are found in his word. And then getting out and putting it all to practice. That we are each called to be missionaries at the Pentagon, at the local schools where we work, in our community. We are each missionaries on the mission of God to reach and teach others who do not yet know him. Together we can do this. I want to invite you to, first of all, if you've never opened up your heart to who Christ is, then today it's just this simple. You need to come to a place of realizing that Christ died for you to forgive you of your sins. And if you've never put your faith in him, you are apart from God. And God loves you and desires that you to be a part of his family. So your first step is to say, Christ, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for forgiving me. Make me a child of yours. Come into my life. Help me to turn from my sins and to follow you. And at this moment, you can do that. Christ is listening to your heart. You can call out to him and say, save me. Make me new. And then for those of you who have already done that, you come to a place of saying, Christ, I want more of you. Less of me, more of you. Show me, God, how I can step from this place today, walking better in the path and the journey that you've called me to walk, that you have set me apart to do for you. How am I to be a missionary for you? And the challenge is to go from this place and to be his hands, his feet, an instrument for him. And so as we close this morning, I want to encourage you to just have some time just praying before the Lord and saying, God, am I being that person you want me to be? Am I living the life you've called me to live? And you wrestle with that as you go through these next moments, just reflecting. And if you come to a point of discovering that, you know, God, I'm not quite where you want me to be, then I encourage you just to wrestle with him on that. Give that to him. Pray to him. And I encourage you to grab somebody else, maybe a spouse sitting next to you, a friend, and say, will you pray for me? That I would be that person on mission, that I would join together in what God's doing and what he's calling this body to do. Will you pray with me? And if you would like to come up, I'd love to pray with you up here, and we'll have prayer teams in the back ready to pray with you as well. All of this is only possible because of what Christ first did for us. We're not just some Red Cross or some good deed doing organization. We are on the mission of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gave up his body. His body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us so that lost people could be found. And as you remember that today, I invite you, when you feel like you've wrestled with God, when you've kind of had your time praying with God, listening to him, giving your heart to him, I invite you to enter into what he's wanting to do next in you by coming to take communion. I invite you to come up and to take a piece of bread as a reminder of what Christ did for you, and to dip it in the cup, remembering his blood shed for us. And let's remember that we live because he died for us, and now he lives through us. So I invite you to respond as you feel led. Let the Holy Spirit break you, shape you, and make you new. Jesus, we come before you. We ask that you continue to show us together the body that you're creating us to be, that we would continue to look at our loved ones, our neighbors, our co-workers, and see, God, just why do you have them in my life? Show me, God, how I can be used to bring your love to them. God, just break our world, change our world, make us the people you want us to be. God, move in our hearts now as we respond to you. In your name we pray. I invite you to respond now as you feel led.